Spotlight. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I am Anubha Rohatgi, and the topic for today's discussion is the role of new crop varieties in enhancing agricultural productivity and promoting sustainable agriculture. And to discuss this topic, we have with us Professor K.C. Bansal, former Director, National Bureau of Plant Genetic Resources, ICAR. Professor Bansal, welcome to the program. Professor Bansal, for a country like India, with its growing population and where agriculture is the mainstay of our economy, how important are new crop varieties for enhancing agricultural productivity and ensuring food security for its billions?
Well, these new varieties are very important for increasing production because currently, as we all know, that our population has almost exceeded 140 crores. So we need to produce more and more food to achieve not only food security but self-sufficiency as well over a long period of time. So therefore, it's important that we adopt these new varieties at the earliest and try to keep continue developing new varieties so that we can increase our production from the current level of about 300 million tons to achieve a level of about 520 or 540 million tons by 2047, by the time we really achieve our goals of becoming a developed country or being a Viksit Bharat, as we talk about it, being self-reliant India. So it is important that we continue developing these new varieties in different crops to achieve not only food security, but also nutrition security for all of our in India.
What are the advantages of new crop varieties over the traditional varieties in terms of performance and resilience? I mean here fighting plant diseases, pest control, heat stress, and water scarcity.
Yes, these new varieties now, in addition to having an advantage of high yield, which we witnessed in 60s and 70s in Green Revolution varieties, they were high yielding varieties, no doubt about it, but they were all responsive to mostly irrigation and fertilizers. And therefore, we need to provide them more water, more irrigation, number of irrigations in a given cropping season, as well as more fertilizers. But now what we are talking about is that apart from increasing yield, we must have an inbuilt resistance in these varieties to pests and diseases and to also drought so that we can produce more with less water. And the water use efficiency could also be possibly increased. Not only this, as you know, the climate change is now witnessed very well globally. There's a global warming. We need to also develop varieties which are tolerant to heat or to high temperature. Mostly the night temperature as well is also increasing, studies have shown in India. So apart from increasing the yield, as we have done in case of traditional varieties of Green Revolution times, we need to now develop these newer varieties with having an advantage of resistance to drought, to high temperature, and to the emerging pests and diseases. And for this, we are using all those technologies which are important, not only the conventional plant breeding, in fact, some of the biotechnological tools also we are now currently using to develop these new high-yielding varieties.
Can you tell us about some of the techniques and tools that you've just mentioned, the biotechnology tools that are used to develop these new crop varieties?
See, there are actually speaking these two types of techniques based on biotechnological tools. One is genetically modified crops we produce using the methods of genetic engineering. The other one is genome editing. Now, genome editing, actually, which is Nobel Prize winning technology, this technology was discovered by two women scientists and they both got Nobel Prize in 2020. So this technology has become very handy nowadays for the last about 10 to 12 years around the world that we are able to develop these newer varieties in an accelerated manner, with more precision, with more accuracy compared to the conventional plant breeding methods. So therefore, using this technology of genome editing, in May 2025, two genome edited rice varieties have been launched by our Honorable Minister of Agriculture. And one of these varieties have been developed by IARI, that is Indian Agricultural Research Institute in New Delhi. And the other one has been developed by the Indian Institute of Rice Research in Hyderabad. And these both the varieties have added advantage of increasing yield up to the level of about 20%. And one of the varieties also mature about 20 days earlier. So that saves about 20 days of use of water or fertilizers. And therefore, it gives an advantage in terms of reduction of greenhouse gas emissions and therefore becomes tolerant to these changes to the climate, which we're all observing. So these technologies, actually speaking, whether conventional breeding or genetically modified crop-based technology or genetic or genome editing, all are currently being used by our scientists in the ICAR system, several crops, so that we can really have sustainability in the forefront while also increasing productivity and production both in our country.
As you rightly mentioned that climate change is a big challenge for farmers the world over, not just in India, and how these new crop varieties are helping in tackling the climate change issues. Apart from that, Do these new varieties also add to the nutritional value of the crop?
Yes, actually using these new technologies, now we are able to identify the underlying factors, genes as we call them, so that we can manipulate and modify those genes to add a particular trait into a new variety. Earlier, when we were working using conventional plant breeding or developing high-yielding varieties, we did not have any information on the kind of genes which were involved in giving a particular trait or feature to these varieties. But now, using the tools of genetic engineering or the tools of genome editing, it is possible that we modify directly the genes which are important for a particular trait. For example, if I mention about it that we need to use or develop varieties with higher nitrogen use efficiency or higher water use efficiency so that we produce more yield with less water or with less fertilizer. So we know now what are those genes that we can directly modify them, and that is now possible and being done using the tools of genome editing. So that adds to the sustainability or the way of sustainable way of production, increasing production in our country, whether food or nutritional quality also is important. Yes, now we know various genes which can control or the amount of zinc or iron, even in elsewhere outside India. Somebody has developed a tomato with higher vitamin D content. Vitamin D, normally it is not very important. Through plants we get it. It's only an animal source that we can have vitamin D. But now they have developed using these technologies, even tomato with high, you know, vitamin D content. So what I'm saying is that not only increasing production, but also nutrition quality, we can improve using some of those tools, technologies, which have become available recently.
You mentioned the two rice varieties that were introduced last year by our minister. What are the other crops where the new varieties are being developed? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, I can give you some examples. Other than rice, actually speaking, we are working on about 40 to 45 crops in the country, developing new varieties using these tools of genome editing. In ICR itself, you know, about 30 to 35 institutions working on different crops, and also CSIR, Council of Scientific Industrial Research, some of the state agriculture universities, they're all working on using this technology of genome editing to improve varieties, develop varieties of different crops. And I said 40 to 45 crops, and the traits particularly focusing on climate resilience, that is, again, you know, tolerance to heat and drought, and also biofortification to increasing the nutritional content of some of those varieties which are consumed by the consumers so that we can try to have better nutritional security. So there's an effort, a concerted effort, I would say, by Government of India. They have announced recently about rupees 500 crore big project to the ICR. Mm-hmm. Similarly, its Council of Scientific and Industrial Research has also given a lot of funds and money to their institutions. Department of Biotechnology is also engaged. And also in August 2024, Honorable Prime Minister launched a policy, a Bio-E3 policy, as we call it, you know, for the environment, for the economy, and for the employment. Actually, this policy is also allows us as one of the themes on climate resilient agriculture. So the idea in this policy is, can we utilize maximally the tools of biotechnology to enhance the production in a sustainable manner?
So all the measures that you've just mentioned, you know, very clearly show that over the last decade or more, the government has taken several measures for the agriculture sector and farmers rooted in its philosophy of Beech Se Bazaar Tak. Would you say that's the government's effort? But what role can the public-private partnership play in this field?
Yes, public-private partnership is something that we need to really promote more. It is not happening at the scale as in a country like India should have it. And when we develop these newer varieties, actually, we need to produce large quantity, good quality seeds. So scaling up is very important. So wherein private players, they have got a very good system of scaling the production of these quality seeds, these different varieties, so that we can try to bring private players here in partnership with public institutions, you know, particularly ICR or state agriculture universities. We have a big national agriculture research system. So I think it's very important, and we have got a very well-informed, well-developed infrastructure with the private sector as well, particularly for producing quality seeds. So I think using these newer methods of biotechnology, while we have the expertise available in the public sector of developing the original primary varieties, but I think their scaling up production could be, you know, actually in consonance and in partnership with private sector.
Professor Bansal, we know, of course, that the new crop varieties, as you rightly mentioned, are crucial to ensuring our food security. At the same time, what are the economic benefits to the farmers?
Well, economic benefits are already there, but point is that through these newer varieties, there is a potential economic benefit to these farmers can even increase further. As I gave you an example of genome-edited rice, which matures 20 days earlier, that means the farmers would like to use less water or less fertilizer, and they can even prepare the land better for the next crop, so they get more time. So all these activities combined together will give us wonderful advantage in economic terms to these farmers. And not only we save on those resources, you know, as input cost, you know, to the farmers,
right,
but also we have a better and clean environment as a result of use of less pesticides or use of less water, use of less fertilizers. And when I give you an example of using less pesticides, that reminds me of BT cotton in India, which we developed and is being cultivated more than 95% of our farmers in about 11 million hectares. Farmers have got a benefit of producing more with less pesticide use. Number of sprays have been reduced drastically. Though there are currently some issues have cropped up, but nevertheless, scientists are working on it. There are already developed varieties which are regulatory pipeline, could be released any time for the benefit of the farmers. But by growing BT cotton alone, the farmers have been able to get an advantage of about rupees 10,000 to 12,000 per acre over the non-BT hybrid, we talk about it. And I'm happy that most of the farmers in our country have adopted happily for the last about 20, 25 years. So we are now looking forward to more such, you know, varieties, not only of cotton, even in mustard, GM mustard, hybrids are also in the pipeline. And we hope they will also get released soon for the benefit of farmers.
So, like you said, the farmers have adopted the BT cotton, which is crop variety. But are there still some challenges that the small and marginal farmers face in accessing these new varieties? And what can be done to overcome those?
Major challenges are for these farmers, particularly the price, because these varieties have little higher price because of the technology price attached to it. But to the benefit of the farmers again, you know, I mentioned about genome editing technology, wherein there's no price extra attached to it because it's being developed by the public system. And we don't have any regulation cost attached to these genome edited crops, because they are exempt from biosafety regulation. Because once, you know, the private sector, you know, is incurring a lot of cost for biosafety regulation, and they have also patented in technology, so that cost is likely to go up, as we have seen in case of BT cotton. But nevertheless, Government of India has played its own role. There's a balanced kind of a price now attached to these new seeds of BT cotton, and farmers have been able to take the benefit. But using this genome editing technology to develop seeds for the farmers, which ICR is working on it, I don't think that the cost will be as much an issue even for the smaller farmers. They will be able to easily afford all these, because public system is going to ensure the availability of these, you know, good quality seeds at an affordable price to all the farmers.
Professor Bansal, it is that what future trends do you see in crop variety development in India?
Well, the future trends I mentioned to you before, that if we have to increase our production from about 350 million tons today and go over 500 million tons in a short period of time, I think we need to increase not only the crop productivity, but we need to save our natural resources to the extent possible. Particularly, I'm talking of saving water. I'm talking of saving our fertilizers cost, like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and also making our newer varieties biofortified with nutritionally enhanced content is very, very important. And we also need to take care of the environment. But now technologies allow us to have this production in a more sustainable manner, so that we can meet our sustainable developmental goals. We can achieve those goals as well, as announced by United Nations in the world in 2015. We need to achieve them by 2030. And also, at the same time, newer varieties are being developed to produce more with lesser input costs to the farmers. Economic benefit will be at least doubled with the development of these new varieties over time. And I believe that these newer varieties using new technologies will take us to a Viksit Bharat, to a developed India, as we're talking about it, becoming Atmanirbhar. You know, we want to achieve it, not in agriculture, of course, in others as well. But I believe self-sufficiency in agriculture is the main driver, even for the economic development in other sectors in the country, be it manufacturing, services, defense, and electronics or IT and whatever. I think it's important, or space for that matter. So I think we are on the right track.
Professor Bansal, thank you so much for joining us on Akashvani's Spotlight program.
Thank you.
Listeners, that was a discussion on the role of new crop varieties in enhancing agricultural productivity and promoting sustainable agriculture. You can listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.